What's going on, guys? Tony Stephan, registered dietitian, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I have a very special and close friend of mine, Gisella. Gisella is a very cool person. She's a registered dietitian, but she has an amazing, powerful story that she's going to come here today and share. And the thing that's so cool about Gisella's story, something that I always say, that a lot of people get into health, fitness, nutrition, wellness because of our past history. There's something in our past, something that we dealt with, something that we had to overcome and get over in our own journey that set us up to now want to go out and impact others. And Gisella has that story. It's very powerful, and she's so transparent about it. That's what we're here to talk about today. So Gisella, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Tony. Good. Thank you.
How is the Florida weather right now? Is it still beautiful? Or?
Oh my gosh, it's so perfect right now. We had one rainy day this week, but other than that, it's like in the 70s. It's been in the 50s at night, and there's no humidity. It's amazing.
Oh, that's perfect. It was snowing here the last, like, not yesterday, but 2 or 3 days before.
I can't.
We get, like, snow, ice on the car in April. Horrible.
I went to the beach yesterday.
Nice. Nice. I love it. So let's get into it. So how long have you been doing this? You're an RD. Kind of, can you just fill it in on your background a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've worked in every realm in dietetics pretty much. I've been a dietitian. I graduated almost 10 years ago, which it boggles my mind. Wow. But I've been an entrepreneur or doing my private practice for the past year and a half.
That's awesome. Geez, I didn't know you were in dietetics for 10 years already.
I can't even believe it myself. That's awesome. At all. That's awesome.
So let's kind of, I guess, go the way we know we're going to go. What led you to want to become a registered dietitian?
Okay. So when I was in high school, it's pretty much when I started struggling with my own eating disorder. It was more like I discovered dieting, and if I limited my intake, I was losing weight. And I grew up where I was always compared to my sister, and always, you know, my mom, as much as I love her, didn't really ever teach us to, like, embrace our bodies and love ourselves. And so I kind of picked up the whole dieting thing quickly. And I realized the more I dieted, the more I lost weight, and the more people commented on it. And so that's kind of how it started. And I was struggling in high school. And then my senior year of high school, I did dual enrollment at a community college, and I took a fitness and wellness class. And I was like, oh, this is what real nutrition is. This saved my life. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. And I want to help people so they don't struggle the way I struggled. The more I learned, the worse it got, unfortunately. So I was in school at FIU in Miami, and I loved it, and I loved dietetics. But unfortunately, the more I learned and the more stress I put on my body, the worse my eating disorder got, and it kind of exacerbated from there. And then I went to a first treatment center. I had to acknowledge the fact that I needed help, and my first treatment center was actually in South America. It was in Argentina because my insurance didn't cover it at the time. And it was actually, I had gotten my first job as a dietitian, as a clinical dietitian, and I postponed 2 months later so that I could go to treatment. Unfortunately, as the dietitians that we are, where a lot of us are type A personalities, I was really good at manipulating my treatment. I was like, I don't need supplements. I'm a vegetarian. Let me exercise. You know, like, I was like queen. And unfortunately, like, it really didn't help. And I kept doing what I was doing for a year and a half after that. And then finally, I realized I needed help again.
Wow. Okay. Does it keep going, or?
Yep. So what happened was that I kind of hit rock bottom, and that's a part of my story that I don't share because I don't want to trigger anybody. But I went basically to a treatment center that had been recommended to me from my Argentinian one, and I kind of knocked on their door and said, I need help. And I was like convinced that I was still going to work full time and just get some help, you know, dibble dabble here and there. And I went and they did my intake, and they're like, you need inpatient treatment. And I was like, no, I don't. You know, I was very, very resistant. And when they presented to me, it was at Oliver Pyatt Center in Miami, Florida. And they were like, you know, we believe in mindful and intuitive eating. And I said, I'm sorry, what is that? And They're like, we believe in honoring your body, what it needs, and allowing yourself to be present with your meals and finding that satiety and enjoying food. I was like, that's not possible. I didn't learn that in school. I mean, Tony, did you get anything with intuitive eating when you were in school? Like
zero.
Yeah. I was like, no, you, and I remember my psychiatrist, my dietitian, and my therapist, I was like, you're all crazy. This isn't going to work. I'm always going to be in this. I'm always going to think about every step that I, you know, count every bite of mouthful that goes into my mouth. I mean, everything. I counted everything. That was my obsession. And I feared food tremendously. And I said, I was always going to be insecure in my body. And finally, like I stopped the resistance and I started listening. And this was the foundation for me that I was like, okay, maybe I get it. Maybe I'm understanding that we can eat and it to be normal and that we can actually heal ourselves.
Wow. You and I have interacted multiple times over the last year or so. I don't think I've gotten tidbits here and there, but I don't think I've ever heard you tell your story full blown like that. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will tell you, I gave them a run for my money too, because I, you know, us dietitians were very into our nutrition, and I challenged them a lot because like we had snacks and we were their green snack or a blue snack, because when you're in treatment, there is mechanical eating in the sense that you are some kind of meal program for them to help you find your set point weight. Not that I was in weight restoration, but you kind of need to figure out by feeding the body adequately where your body needs to go. And when we'd have to make our snacks, I knew exactly what a 200 calorie snack was. You know, I knew exactly, like the chef never had to tell me, no, that's not enough or you need more. Just I knew it to the point.
Yeah.
And for me, I feared food so much that I would see food and I would get really scared to eat it. And it would be mealtime. They would ask us about how hungry we were, how full we were. And I used to just freak out. I used to become numb and I couldn't taste food for what it was. And finally, I told them, please blindfold me and start putting food in my mouth. Like, don't let me see what it is. Just put it in my mouth so I can experience it. Because mindful eating is very much about sensory. You know, using your senses. And that's what I did. I remember, and I tell this story time and time again, that they put a Snickers bar for the first time in my mouth, and it had been years since I had one. What did that trigger for me? That triggered a memory of my grandfather. We used to go to the grocery store and buy Snickers bars to get and eat them after school. I didn't know at the time he had diabetes, and it probably wasn't the best option for him. But, you know, it just gave me that good memory. And that's what food does. Food gives you experiences, moments, memories. And so the more I learned about it, the more I practiced it after treatment, the more I said, I need to help women with this nutrition approach.
Dude, that's amazing. Like I said, I've heard tidbits. I didn't even hear the grandfather story before. Holy smokes. That's an amazing journey. That's what, so I have a writing coach now, and this is what's referred to as the hero's journey. Do you ever watch like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or anything like
that? No, I'm so bad with that stuff.
That's okay. But pretty much like you're starting off here in this like comfortable place. Like you knew, like, you know, tracking all your food, that was comfortable to you. That was just your world. And then it's like some sort of adversity happens, right? And then you have to go get exposed to this whole new world, and you're resistant. You fight it at first, but then it's like, once you adapt to that and once you accept that as like, wow, this is really the way it should be, then it's like looking back at that old world, it's like, how did I ever live like that?
Right, right. Yeah, I think about it now and I'm like, I can't believe I used to count everything that went in my mouth, every step that I took, every minute that I exercised. I mean, it was crazy. And so what happened with me was that I kept working as a dietitian. I worked in different fields. And then finally, when we moved back to Florida, we lived in Georgia for a little bit. I was postpartum. I had my baby. I was struggling a lot. I couldn't be a stay-at-home mom. So I got a job full-time from home, and it was building menu databases for hospitals. And I had a boss that, you know, boggled me a lot, and she stressed me out a lot. And I was realizing this is not why I became a dietitian. And I had to kind of hit that low to realize, what did I become a dietitian for? It was to help people. And I quit my job and I said, let me figure out this entrepreneur thing. And my husband was like, all right, let's give it a go. And the thing is, we had always moved for his career and his promotions, but we never did anything for me. I kind of always settled on jobs. And so I was like, let me figure it out. And when I first started as a dietitian, I went in with, you know, weight loss and meal plans. And, you know, I was told that that's the way to make money. And I kept realizing I wasn't being authentic to myself. And I was like, there's something missing that it's not clicking for me.
Mm-hmm. Dang, dude, you're dropping the bombs, the knowledge bombs today. That's why I love chatting with you.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that I want to ask you about that. So how hard was it to initially realize, like, I need help. I need help with this.
With work or with my own treatment?
With your own treatment.
So it was extremely hard. For the longest time was that I was thinking I'm a dietitian with an eating disorder. I wasn't thinking I was just Sulla with an eating disorder. Mm. And that's the thing, is that so many times we put who we are like on paper first, as opposed to us being humans. And I'm human before I'm anything else, before I'm a wife, a mom, you know, a dietitian, anything else, I'm just Sulla. And I had to remember that. And my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was just like, look, he was very honest. He's like, I can't be with you if you can't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I kind of needed that push to say, just like, are you going to live like this the rest of your life? Like, my friends from high school, I used to be envious that they used to eat and not think about it and like enjoy food. I'd be like, how is that even possible? Mm-hmm. And I had hit rock bottom. I did something to myself that I was like, this isn't working. And I needed to just wave the white flag and said, please help. And it was hard, but it was the best decision I ever made.
Wow. And again, thank you for sharing all this. Like, I know personally, it's always so uncomfortable when you put your own story out there. But the reason I wanted to talk to you today and why this is so important is this is beyond intuitive eating. This is realizing that something I have said myself in content, on this podcast, on Instagram, whatever, that adversity. And when you hit rock bottom, if you do the right things, reaching out for help, realizing that like what's going on is no longer serving you and taking a new course of action, that can set you up for the biggest success of your life and the biggest passion and purpose and all that. Like, do you think you would be so passionate about helping, and you work mostly with women, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Do you think you'd be as passionate and as adamant about helping women with this if you did not deal with it yourself?
No, I don't think I would, because I've walked those steps, you know, and when I have women talking to me, and it's kind of, I'm a dietitian, also food therapist, and self-love therapist.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they tell me these things, and I'm just like, yes, I know what that's like. You know, that's all I can repeat to them is that I understand. I know where you're coming from. Let's find those healing components. You know, this is what I want you to do with your meals. This is how I want you to challenge yourself. Like, how comfortable are you with that? You know, and what you just said about something not serving you, you're absolutely right. Like, for me, counting everything in my life was no longer serving me. Then, for me, like becoming entrepreneur, working in the job that I was hating was no longer serving me. Mm. And then the transition of being the dietitian of a weight loss meal plan type of dietitian, that was no longer serving me, because I was like, this isn't authentic to me. This is not why I want to help people. And why am I in this? I don't care if most of the industry is in that, and it's, as an entrepreneur, you think, oh, that's where I'm going to make the most money. But I wanted to be authentic to me. And to be honest with you, it's because I took Libby, who's a good friend of, you know, our Libby Rothschild, I took her course, and she just kept talking about authenticity. And that really struck a chord with me. And I was like, I remember coming home late after working, and I like cried to my husband, and he was like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm not being authentic to myself as an entrepreneur. And I said, I became an entrepreneur to help people the way I wanted to. And just like you said, I needed to serve the way I had been served. And I needed to remember that.
Damn, dude. I love that so much. I think, yes, that's exactly it. And there's so many applications you can take from that, whether it's your own health and fitness journey. Like, perfect example, like, sure, maybe, you know, having a six pack of abs would be the most amazing thing ever, but is what you're going to have to do to go get that, you know, achieve that goal, is that going to serve you? Is that going to sacrifice your family and your relationship and your nights out with your friends and just being a normal human being? I've talked about that. I have a blog post about that that said I was shredded and I was miserable because I did sacrifice all of those things. So yes, with that. And then also with business, because in entrepreneurship, because we're both entrepreneurs as dietitians in, you know, health, fitness, wellness. And that's exactly it. You see so many people afraid to do and say and create the content or create the programs or whatever, create the service that they know is best for them, because they think, well, people won't invest in this, or people will only want, you know, you said weight loss and meal plans. Like, no, people I say this over and over, but the knowledge is out there. People want you, right?
Right?
When people invest in coaching with you, your coaching services, they work with Gisele because, like you said, I've walked the journey. I've been there before. Now let me use my story to show you, you know, you can do it. Like, it took me three or however many years that was, right? Longer than 3 years. But it took me that amount of time to figure it out. Let me condense this for you and let me teach this to you.
Right.
That's what's so powerful. And that's what I think the big takeaway from here is, wherever you are at, if you're listening to this and it's your own health and fitness journey and you've struggled for years, realize that adversity is going to create what it takes for your success. If you're a health and fitness professional and you struggled with being overweight, you struggled with eating disorder histories, you struggled with poverty or whatever it may be, realize that adversity is your friend if you do what Gisele did and frame it the right way. Realize, put your hand up, like you said, wave the white flag, which is not easy to do.
No.
Especially for like people like you and I who are very like proud people, you know, we're, like you said, we identify as dietitians and entrepreneurs and all these things. So that's not easy to do, but self-awareness is so, so critical. Being able to say, hey, I need help, but then use that story to inspire others. And that's the next thing I want to ask you is, like I said, it's not easy to talk about this stuff. It's right. not. And I respect you for it. I can relate when I talk about my own, you know, life and history. What is your advice? Because this is a question I get. What is your advice to someone who's like, Gisele, I have a story like that and your story has motivated me, but I'm afraid to tell it and I'm afraid no one will care.
So I say, you know, even if it's one person listening, you're making an impact on that person. And for me, I couldn't just be someone on social media as a counselor if I couldn't show them that I could, you know, that I understood them because I've walked the walk, like we were just talking about. So, you know, I say just start with baby steps. I have a friend of mine, she struggles and she's like, I want to help people the way you help people, but I'm still scared to talk about it. And I said, listen, when you're comfortable enough, then start, but it doesn't have to be where you just explode your whole story. It could be just little pieces. Listen, I understand I've been there, or this is kind of what I struggled with, or, you know, just giving it to, until you're comfortable enough to be there and just be open. I'm an open book, but I also hold back a little bit because I don't want to trigger anybody. So I don't want to give too much away to where it emotionally affects somebody in a negative way. I want to emotionally affect them in a positive way. Like, yes, there's hope. Yes, I can help you. Yes, you know, I can help you with those tools to give you that food freedom and that self-love and self-care.
What do you mean by trigger someone? Like, what, because you said that a couple of times. What do you mean by that?
Like, if somebody, let's say, has disordered eating, or someone is lacking self-love, or you know, has issues with their body image, I don't want to say too much to where it upsets them, or they feel that they have to do the same thing. Like any acts that I've done to myself when I was very sick. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Like,
yes.
I don't want them to think, oh, I haven't done that, so I'm not sick enough. Or I don't want them to think, oh, I haven't tried that, maybe I should.
Gotcha.
So I'm a little bit more reserved with how much I share. I'm an open book. But I keep about 10% away because I don't want to trigger anybody.
I think that's fair. I think in today's world, in social media world, sharing and being fully transparent and authentic 90% of the time, and keeping some things internal or personal, that's fine. I think that's more than a lot of people are willing to do. But I mean, here's something you and I have said before. Like, I feel like I know you, especially now after hearing this. Like, I feel like. I know you, even though we've never met.
Yeah.
And like, you can go on your Instagram and you will see everything from your daughter, from your husband, from, you know, like your favorite foods and all that. It's like, just, oh, like, I think you are an open book. So that's definitely a question I get a lot of people who want to get started with whatever health, fitness, wellness, that say, I don't know if I have something to say because everyone's already talked about intuitive eating. Everyone's already talked about macro tracking. Everyone's already talked about the 5 exercises you can do at home. Right. But no one's ever said it in your voice. No one's ever told your story. No one's ever told your hero's journey of, like, you know, wherever you started to wherever you are today and why you want to help people. And to me, that's what makes you so much different from, you know, everything else out there. Is that it's that journey. It's that journey and then that passion. Because if I was struggling with that, and after talking to you, I'm like, damn, I have some intuitive eating issues. But after, you know, if I was struggling with that, like with something like that, I would seek you out. This is what I would do. I would go on Instagram and I'd search intuitive eating hashtags, right? Like what everyone does. I'd stumble upon your page. I'd start reading your narrative and your content. And I'd say, holy shit, I feel like I know this girl. Like I see her family. I see what she does, her job. I know she's from Florida and she's always smiling because it's sunny. But I see her journey and holy smokes, that's me. And then I would DM you and reach out. But if it was just like information about intuitive eating is this or whatever, macro tracking is this or X, Y, and Z, like X, Y, and Z content, like X, Y, and Z, like, you know, whatever, nutrition stuff, I wouldn't feel that connection.
Right.
If I was struggling with that, but like, because I can see into your world and because you're sharing that story to me, if I was struggling, I would much more likely reach out to connect. Like that's how I hired my writing coach. I saw him, I followed his content. I saw him speak live. He talked about depression. He talked about suicide. He talked about the real shit in life that everyone like deals with in some way or another. And then I reached out and I hired him. I paid him thousands of dollars to help me with coaching because I saw his story first.
Right. And that's the thing is that it has to hit home for somebody. And that's how you relate to somebody, because I can give out facts. I can, you know, list the 10 intuitive eating principles and tell you, you know, the steps of mindful eating. But if I'm not saying how that's affected me and how I've done that, I'm not reaching home to anybody. So I'll tell you, I go around locally and give a mindful and intuitive eating workshop. I share my story in the workshop. And because I shared that workshop is that as an entrepreneur, I got my first corporate wellness program as an intuitive eating dietitian, which there are none out there like that from my knowledge.
Right.
And I sit I give the workshops every Wednesday. And then on Fridays, I meet one-on-one with two of the employees. And today, the two women I was talking to, like both crying and just saying, what you're saying to me, I understand. Like I've struggled with that. This is what's been going on with my whole life. Like I want to keep listening to what you're saying. I love this workshop. You know, that fulfills me as a woman, as someone who's struggling with eating, as an entrepreneur, as a dietitian. Like this is my purpose. And because I am serving my purpose appropriately and being that open book, then I'm doing my job.
Yep. And that's something so huge too that you touched on earlier, that income without fulfillment will never be anything. And that's, again, that's why you're successful. And that's why you'll continue to be very successful, because again, it's such a parallel to my story of you give up the things we're supposed to do, right? Come out of college, get a high paying career, do meal plans. You know, I went through that myself as a dietitian working at a big box gym. To say, F that, I'm going to do what intuitively, I'm not trying to pun on words, but what intuitively feels right for me in terms of a philosophy. And then, you know, as long as I get fulfillment from this, everything else will figure itself out. And that's what a true professional does, right?
Yeah.
You and I have agreed upon this on a million times. You and I do a totally different approach. Not, I shouldn't say totally different, but it's a different approach.
Right.
But it's like nothing but freaking total respect for what you do as a professional because of that exact thing. That's your way. That's your method that has resonated with you. And those women who you are coaching, that's what they need. So there's never a disagreement of like, well, I do macro tracking, intuitive eating doesn't make sense. No, yes, it does for that right type of individual, because that's your authentic self coming out and putting that out. So that's amazing. And I totally agree with that. I totally lost my question now. This is good though. It's very, very good.
I will tell you, Tony, though, what you were just saying, like I was told when I was leaving the meal plans type of, you know, industry and weight loss, and you needed to look like this to do a photo shoot kind of thing. The mentor I had told me that I was being an idiot, and I went to school, I got my master's degree in business, and she was like, you need to keep your MBA hat on and know that the money, 80% of the industry is in meal plans and weight loss, and you're not going to make any money. You just need to suck it up and do what you're doing because you're good at it, and that's where you're going to make money. And I told her, I said, I can't be someone that I'm not. Like I knew that I wasn't going to be successful because my heart wasn't in something like that. And kudos to anybody that is, and that's great that you can be authentic to it, but it wasn't to me. And I was, you know, bashed down, like you said, and I said, nope, I got to figure this out and figure out what works for me. And this is what it is.
Okay. Thank you. That brought up my next question, and it ties right into that of the whole goal of like this podcast is why it's called like School of Success is it bridges the gap between formal education and real world application, right? Because like you said, we both have like, I do macro-based nutrition protocols, you do intuitive eating. We were not taught any of that in school, right? So everything you and I learned that we now support ourselves through our entrepreneurial business as dietitians slash coaches are all educated, like we utilize the RD credential, but it's what we learned above and beyond that. And we both had mentors tell us we were fucking idiots for wanting to do what we authentically knew was right.
Right.
Like what to me, that's like mind blowing. Like what are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree with you. Like I could not believe that this was coming out of her mouth. And I said, I just can't. And the reality was that by losing me, she was losing money because I was working for her.
Sure.
So you have to think about like, no, what is going to work for me? And like you said, these weren't things that we learned in school. I didn't learn to become, to teach intuitive eating or, you know, become an intuitive eater, much less teach it at a corporate level. You know, I created that for me because I was authentic to me and I was serving my purpose. And that's what it came down to is figuring out what really works for you that you have a passion for. And then everything else will fall into place. As long as you keep striving for that, it's going to work.
Yes. Yes. I love that so much. And that's exactly like, I'm 100% in line with that message that it's the quote. I think it's Jim Rohn. Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. Both of us got the RD credential because that was something important to us. We wanted to be nutrition experts. And then we quickly learned that the field that was most fulfilling to us, which was not clinical, which was not food service, which was not long-term care, was intuitive eating and macro-based, but both helping people with our stories and helping people in the realm of private practice or fitness, wellness. And that without that self-education, without that further investment beyond credentials and beyond formal education, you and I would not be doing what we're doing. We wouldn't be having right. this conversation today. So can you just touch on a little bit, you already pretty much did, but just the importance for whether it's a dietetic student or whether it's a person who switched careers and now is becoming a personal trainer and a nutrition coach, like the importance and the value of self-education versus formal education.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, yes, I love having my RD. Could I tell you what I learned in school? Probably not.
Dang, there it is. Yes.
Let's be real. For me, like sitting in all my chemistry classes, I was terrible at chemistry. I just needed to get a C to pass. Like C is for chemistry.
Yes.
So I'm going to be real.
You would have been my lab partner. I would have been like, I need, no. Cause like you said, it's all the type A dietitians. Like I need a 4.0. This is going
to
be.
No. I was like, I just need to pass. Like,
yes.
So for me, self-education is so important. So, you know, finding courses that are of interest to you. Like I recently, like to further my knowledge in intuitive eating and motivational interviewing, I took Amy Sauer's courses. Anytime I see a webinar from a dietitian that I look up to, that's what I take. I hired a business coach. That's all part of self-education. And sitting there, like, even when we have to do things as an entrepreneur business owner, like how to apply for your business license. Like that's self-educating. You have to sit there and figure it out.
Right.
And those are the things that you remember in life, you know, and not to say that I don't know anything I learned as a dietitian, but you know, these are things that are your everyday and that essentially are your bread and butter as an entrepreneur. And so the fact that you need to sit there and keep grinding and keep sitting there and learning and seeing how else you can help people, how else you can grow as a person and as an entrepreneur, you gotta do it.
Absolutely right. That's the way I've always framed it is I'm the same way. I would never, like we never bash our credential, you know, it opened a door. It opened one door. But if you stop there and if you're, I'll say it like this, if you're ignorant enough to think that once you complete college, whatever realm, like engineering, like medicine, whatever, and say that you're done learning, like that's when you're done. And especially in the fitness or health industry, which is the most competitive business or industry in America right now in 2018, it's the health and fitness industry.
Yep.
You are done. You will get crushed out by other people who are furthering their knowledge every single day because it's a rapidly evolving thing. So I totally agree with that. I don't know if I've ever heard someone put it as well as you did to where I'm like, yes, that totally makes sense. But that's exactly it is yes. It, no matter what education, same thing with exercise science. Like I saw, and this was when I first was trained, there's a guy at the gym, and this was LA Fitness in Warren, Michigan. We were paid $6 per session. He had a master's degree in kinesiology. I was 18 years old. He was making exactly what I was making because he just wasn't a good trainer. He had the formal knowledge. He had way more formal knowledge than I ever did as a trainer. I only have at the time I had a really low level certification, and now I have an A certification, but I don't even have a degree. But we were making the same level of income because he was not a master of his craft, and he did not take it any further to build relationships and create that, you know, personalized approach with people. So formal education will definitely always open doors. But like I said, that's what this is about. Formal education, practical application, bridging the gap. And that's what you did through self-education. I love that.
And you have to pursue your passion, you know? So if I didn't go to school to, you know, to not pursue that. Like I got my credential, like you said, but I got to keep learning and I got to keep figuring out. I went to business school. Did I learn how to build a business in business school? No, wow. I can't even tell you what classes I took. Maybe accounting, like marketing.
Yeah.
But like it's about every day. What am I going to do to take my business to the next level? And what am I going to do to keep reaching out to more people to help them? Like, you know, you've got this podcast, Tony, and you're helping people with that. Like, you know, your sales training, what you're doing to help people like bridge that gap of making, you know, discovery calls into actual sales, because we don't have that. And if you don't take the time to learn, keep learning, you're not going to be successful. And that's so important. It's every day. It's what else can I do to better myself and to keep learning?
That's awesome. Cause that's, you do have those two different degrees. You have the RD and then you have your MBA. So you would say you've learned more about being a real entrepreneur, cause you're a real entrepreneur. This is what you do. You've learned more in the trenches doing it than you did in your MBA. Is that what you're
saying? Oh yeah. Yeah. Like in business school, you learn, I guess, the numbers and I guess the business world, but you don't know how to build a business from scratch. Like that's not taught at all.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's so crazy. And like my wife is an educator. She's a teacher. She teaches special needs, Oh, that's how she has the patience to deal with me. She's just got patience rooted in her. But so I have nothing but respect for like educators and formal education and all that, but it is, and there's so much information out there. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's like the statistic is the average student loan college debt is I think $40,000 to $50,000. And like you said, and I mean, I had to fund myself through college. I took on loans to go through college. So I know what that feels like, but people are coming out. And again, whether it's nutrition, kinesiology, whatever, with all this debt and all this formal education, but then no practical application on how to go out and translate that into, you know, coaching or business or whatever, and following something that's not currently structured. Like for us, it was clinical, food service, long-term care. And we both experienced, if you thought about going outside that, you're fucking ostracized. It's like, what? You want to do what? I still remember people were like, you're going to go work at blah, blah, blah fitness for a commission income as a dietitian. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah. It was like the joke. But hopefully the resources like this and people like you telling your story and my story will show future generations. I'm sounding old now, but you know, future professionals coming up that fuck that. You don't have to do those bullshit preset up like standards and limits. Find a mentor who believes in you, because we both experience shitty mentors and we both have experienced good mentors. So find a mentor who is doing what you're doing in 10 years ahead of you. Right? Find a mentor who's done it, who's lived it, and now is like replicating it and can teach someone. And then go, like, don't be afraid to invest in other courses or resources and just get your hands in the dirt, coach people, like learn stuff, do your own journey, and then document that and share that. And that's where Giselle excels, is share that, because people won't know it if you don't share that.
Yeah. And you're so valid. Like finding a business mentor that matches with you. I wish I would have invested in a business mentor that, you know, matched me way long ago. Like I feel like I would have been a year ahead in my business, and somebody who understood my vision, somebody who more than just told me what to do, asked me what I wanted to do. And that's so important, so that they get their vision and they kind of just guide you along. They give you that boost, not tell you, this is exactly what you need to do. Here's the plan out. Because that's not going to help you and it's not authentic to you. And that's really, really important to remember that.
It's the same thing as like nutrition coaching. Like we don't force people to do things. We like see what would be best for them. And like, again, the best dietary protocol, it's the one you can stick to. So
and how many people, you know, have I said, you know, intuitive eating is not for you. Let me refer you to somebody else. Yeah. I mean, I do it all the time. And absolutely. It's important because if you're not ready for this approach or it's not for you, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And also as entrepreneurs, we have to accept that.
Yep. Yep. Because there's nothing. And this is something, again, it's why we get along, because we're the same values with that of, and something I say too, to me, I would rather not sign someone up for coaching, not take their investment for them to come in and in 8 weeks in realize it's not what they wanted to do. It's too much work, or it's just like, oh, I've got to track my intake and I've got to, you know, whatever, do all that. I'd rather avoid that initially than have someone invest in my coaching and then have a bad experience. So it's like, and I was just talking to a student yesterday about this, a dietetic student, of I almost like try to dissuade people from wanting to do the coaching, to where it's like, I know if they're still on the phone, they're still like their heads in the game, this is someone I want to work with. Because you're right, there's nothing worse than or a true professional is able to say like, this, you want to see results right now. Like you want a six pack of abs, but you're telling me you're not going to give up drinking. You're not going to give up your nights out and you're traveling, you know, 5 days out of the week. This isn't right for you right now. Come back when it is.
Right. Right. Just like if I have someone that's dead set that she is going to weigh herself every day until it hits a certain number, like, well, this is what I do. No, but I still want to lose weight. Then it's not the approach. You know, I don't focus on weight loss. If weight loss happens, great. But what I do is have you rediscover your body and be in tune with it and understand what your body's needs are and not focus on the number on the scale. So, but if someone's not ready, that's okay for me to say, no, let me refer you to somebody else. It's just like not taking on every type of client either, because we should be sticking to our niche. And I didn't understand that when I first started as an entrepreneur. I was like, hey, renal, because I've worked in renal. Hey, yeah, I know diabetes. Not really. Yeah. things like that. And it's like, you know, my first fancy in 2016, they were like, you have to stick to your niche. And I was like, what are they talking about? You know, because again, we didn't learn that in school. Nobody ever told me, find a population that you want to work with and stick to it. We are the experts of everything in nutrition. So it's no, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to stick to an audience that you know, and that you know that you can help and give 100% of you.
Yep. It's something we all struggle with initially. Like the same thing when I started personal training, I trained everyone and anyone. I trained older people. I trained kids, which was a nightmare. I trained, you know, couples. I trained everybody under the sun, weight loss, performance, athletes. And then we have to go through that to discover who we truly enjoy. Because when you first start, broad experience is good. Right? It's very hard to come right out the bat. At least this wasn't my journey, but it was very hard to come right out the bat and be like, I am only dealing with athletes. If you've never trained athletes, like you might get into it and realize you hate it, right? So right. I think broad experience is crucial for success at first. And that's why both of us did do well, because I like to put it like this, you almost are learning more of what you don't want versus what you do want. So then you can kind of like process of elimination, realize, all right, I don't want geriatrics. I don't want renal. You know, I don't want X, Y, and Z. This must be what I really want. And then you can focus on that. So I totally agree with that. This has been amazing. This has been really, really good. If I take a lot away from it, I know someone else listening to this definitely will. So obviously you're on Instagram. That's where your best stuff is. So like if people want to consume more of this awesome content of yours we're talking about, how can people do that?
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, they can follow me on the letter B, Nutrition and Wellness. So B for Bouvier, because my name is Gisella Bouvier.
Oh, I love that. I'll put that in the episode description. I'll just like put to your Instagram there. But awesome. Well, thank you so much. I know you said you weren't feeling well, so thank you so much for your time today. This was amazing. As always, every time I speak with you, I get like to another level of respect. So I think you're at level 10 of 10 now. So just truly amazing story and amazing journey. And again, showing how adversity can really set you up for long-term success, as well as, you know, not being afraid to go against the grain. And again, like formal education, but then bridging beyond that and saying, it's okay if I don't fit into a certain mold that quote, quote, I'm supposed to fit into, and doing your own thing. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye. Bye.